This is The Adam Ritz Show, a public affairs talk show touching on community, health, foundations, and more. The Adam Ritz Show is underwritten by Vibonomics, an audio out-of-home advertising marketplace and audio experience company. Info at Vibonomics.com. And now, from the Vibonomics studios, please welcome your public affairs radio host, Adam Ritz.
Hey, everybody. Welcome aboard. My name is Adam Ritz, and Jay Baker is on the phone with me. Hey, Jay, how you been?
I am doing very well, Adam. It's another beautiful day in the fall.
We love fall. We love October. We love the football season and all the charitable events centered around these athletes and the foundations they have. And we really like to talk about these foundations and charity works. And I came across a story this week that, it has nothing to do with charity, and I was really hoping it did because it is a an auction, and we've talked a lot about auctions recently. There was a James Bond auction you reported on that raised money for charity.
Very cool. Bond at 60.
Yeah, but 60 years of Bond, and they auctioned off his Aston Martin for maybe $1 million, and most of the proceeds went to charity. Well, there was an auction this week. And a pair of Levi jeans were auctioned off for $76,000. Did you hear this one?
No. What made them so special?
Well, they were recovered in a mine. They were from the 1800s. I mean, these are like an original pair of Levi jeans from the 1800s. They were recovered from an old mine, which makes you wonder, you know, what miner took his jeans off?
You feel bad. Turn of the century mining was so dangerous, you'd have to occasionally take your pants off.
I guess so. And they were left behind. And a young man, here's the craziest part. Well, there's several crazy parts of the story. But the guy that bought these jeans for $76,000 was 23 years old.
Wow. Some people are doing well. They're living their best life.
He's doing a lot better than you and I. I had trouble buying lunch today, and this kid bought a $76,000 pair of jeans. His name is Kyle Halpert. He is a vintage clothing dealer, and he is going to try to resell them at a higher price downriver. The jeans are still marked by candle wax, so there's candle wax on the jeans. There's an extra rivet on the waistband for when people used to wear suspenders with their jeans. And if you Google this and find, we'll put a picture on our website, adamritzshow.com, but there's a picture of the jeans, and the gentleman that paid for these jeans, and he's right, I agree with him, you could wear these jeans to Starbucks today and order a coffee, and nobody would look at you like you were wearing something that old.
Well, and haven't you always marveled that blue jeans became like the unofficial uniform of the United States?
Yeah.
Like you think of all the cloth, clothing, anything. I mean, why didn't, a kilt, unlikely, but why didn't something else sort of become the national garment? And wouldn't you say jeans would be that? And even a turn of the century pair of jeans discovered in a mine, I'm going to guess they're pretty small.
Well, they do look short.
People of that era were not particularly, they weren't, hitting the Golden Corral.
You can see the wear and tear on the jeans from where their knees were. And if I wore these jeans, that'd be about the middle of my thigh. They'd probably fit me in the waist, but they'd probably come down to, they look like football pants. They just would come just below my knees. So I guess I'd have to have some pretty hipster shoes on in that Starbucks for no one to really look at me and go, what are you wearing, man? And then you'd have to just pass out business cards to everybody saying, I'm wearing $76,000 jeans. How's your day going?
Yeah, no kidding.
So I scoured the story to see if there was some sort of charity angle with the auction to see if any of the money went for a cause. Couldn't find one, but that doesn't stop me from reporting on this story in a public affairs light to encourage you, Jay, me, myself, our listeners, to get involved with a charity auction. Because more often than not, there is an angle for that auction to be connected to a charity or foundation. and you could end up with a, you know, a one-of-a-kind item in your basement, a collector's item, and also help out a great cause. So that's your foundation charity auction advice for the week.
Well, excellent. We've always talked about that, you know, charity can come in so many different forms, and you can really bring people on board by sort of varying up the way you handle the charity.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I, you know, it's coming to the end of the year here, fourth quarter. I want to help out, want to give back. Also want to, you know, a collector's item in my basement. So I'm going to keep my eye out for the next, big charity. I've got to perform a little lower than the Aston Martin or the $76,000 pants. But you know what I'm saying. Maybe there could be a framed picture of an athlete in my basement.
Well, that that auction that you were talking about, the bond auction, they had the early part of the auction, they talked in very vague terms, but just saw a follow-up article that did raise an extraordinary amount of money. So hats off to the Broccoli family, who is part, you know, they're the owners of the bond legacy. And they were the ones that spearheaded this Bond at 60 charity auction. And they had stuff like tux coats and, you know, stuff that the real James Bond wore in a movie. And I know you like super cool items, but could you imagine having like the white jacket that Sean Connery wore in Goldfinger?
Oh, that'd be so cool. That would be cool.
Oh, it would just be absolutely the best. And, you know, we were talking a little bit about the more interesting you can make the auction, the more people want to participate in it. And here is an interesting one, an office-themed charity bar crawl that's happening in Willoughby, Ohio.
Huh.
Now, of course, The Office, based on the British television series, this one is themed at a variety of bars. I guess you spend 30 minutes in each bar and then you move on, and they have designated drivers and everything so that you know, nothing gets out of control. But they encourage you to dress as your favorite office worker
from the television show, The Office.
Yeah, the television show. Yeah. And of course, you know, you love it when Jim famously makes fun of Dwight by dressing as Dwight. And I think I've seen a lot of Dwight wearing costumes during Halloween. So he might be the easiest one to mimic.
We had a sales guy here at the radio station 3 years ago that won our inner office Halloween costume contest because he dressed as Dwight Schrute from The Office.
Yeah.
He parted his hair down the middle. He had the glasses. Yeah, I think, you know, it was a mustard-colored suit with a yellow shirt and a brown tie. And that was Dwight. Everyone knew.
Oh,
as soon
that's
as
perfect.
You looked at him, you said, there's Dwight Schrute. Who would I think I'd have to dress up as Jim, only because we have the same body type and brown hair, although mine's gray now. But I don't know anybody else on the show that I'd, you know, look like or yeah, I guess Michael. I could do Michael Scott.
Yeah, you could do a Michael Scott. Yeah. But if you think about all the different characters in The Office, like, you got to love a guy like Creed, you know, who's the older rock star look. And then, you know, you've got, I mean, Mindy Kaling was in, you know, so it's like you've got a lot of different characters, both male and female, that you can emulate.
Ed Helms, and then, that'd be a good one. Yeah, you could.
Ed Helms was good. And I love Craig Robinson, and I forget the name of his character. Remember, he was sort of the head of the warehouse.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
Yeah, so there's a lot of great ideas in that. But hats off to them thinking of this in Willoughby, Ohio. All the proceeds will go to Make-A-Wish Foundation of Northeast Ohio. Here's something that's kind of cool that's coming up in the Midwest. In central Indiana, they're going to have the firefighters versus police. They're going to battle on ice. It's the second battle of the badges. It's going to happen at the State Fair Fairgrounds on October 21st. And we've talked about how traditional these hockey games are, especially when it's police versus firemen.
Oh, yeah.
There's something about hockey that just brings out that competitive nature.
And there's something about, you know, police versus firefighters with the logo, the shields and the logos and the colors, you know, the red,
yeah,
a red team versus the navy blue team. There's just a whole lot of Americana going on there.
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that's actually a point well taken, is that the uniforms are very distinct. You know, it's blue versus red. And lest you think it's just going to be some guys that just sort of phoned it in, last year the firefighters won, and they take it very seriously. They won 4-2. So it wasn't like, 80-80 kind of hockey game. I mean, those guys were taking it very seriously.
One of the most famous versions of this police versus firefighters hockey game is the 9/11 tribute in New York City.
Yes.
I think they fill Madison Square Garden for that game.
Yes, they raise a great deal of money for the 911 Foundation. This one, the proceeds are going to be going to Make-A-Wish Foundation as well. Tickets are $25. And not only do you get to enjoy the Battle of the Badges, but you'll also get to see the Indy Fuel opener. They are a minor league hockey team based in Indianapolis. And if you happen to live close enough to take advantage of this, you can get ticket details at Indy Fuel Hockey, all one phrase pushed into one word, .com.
All right. And what was the date on that?
That's coming up October 21st.
Very cool. Okay.
So I think we're actually saying something that some people can go to, because you and I are the kings of, hey, here's a great charity event. Oh, it happened 2 weeks ago.
And it already happened. But, you know, those kind of follow-up reports, that's how we find out how much money was raised, and those are still viable reports. In fact, we'll do it with this one. So 2 weeks after this hockey game, we'll come back and tell you how much money they raised.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's going to be great. And people kind of itching for hockey as hockey starts back up. This is the time of the year, you know, where you get your football, you get your baseball, you get your hockey, you get your – and Chinese table tennis starts up as well. That's another spectator sport. You'll love this. Sportsbooks take bets on table tennis. And I'm going to just mildly suggest, because, you know, what you do with your spare time and your money is your concern. But if you're betting on table tennis matches, you might want to review
you might
possible
wanna
problem
yeah.
in the gambling arena.
You may want to reflect on a few things happening in your life. And that is not a Jay Baker comedy bit. You're serious? You can bet on ping pong?
You can bet on ping pong, my friend. And there's apparently there's a bunch of ping pong leagues, which just sound crazy to me. I used to really love to play around sports betting, and the more obscure, the better. But when I started betting on Greek football matches, Greek soccer matches, I said, oh, this has to end.
Yeah, that's
it's just so obscure that you find yourself going, this has no relevance to normal everyday life. It's not like you're going to be at work and go, hey, you know, the Greek Atmos team really played well today.
No kidding. Yeah. And, there are so many more outlets to gamble now. When I just turned 21, it was a big deal that they just started putting those riverboat casino boats. On a river near, so you didn't have to travel all the way to Las Vegas to play a few games. And here, just a few short decades later, it is everywhere. It is on your phone. There are apps there are full sports books on your phone now, and which means that gambling as an addiction, it was always a big problem in this country, and now it's going to be a bigger problem.
I
don't
misuse.
Have any of the resources in front of me right now, but I'm glad, with football season, like you said, and the World Series around the corner, we'll come back next week with our Halloween extravaganza, and then early November we'll dedicate a show to gambling addiction, because that is something to be taken serious. And I guess I will applaud all the apps I've heard that advertise. They will always mention in their commercial where to call if you have an addiction problem, a gambling problem.
Yeah, good point.
And I think it's 1-800-WHIP-IT, if I
With it, yeah, the Midwest number is 1-800-WITH-IT.
With it. Okay, I was hearing
W-I-T-H.
I heard whip it, like you got to whip your, you know, whip your addiction.
Yeah, that would be not a bad tie-in.
Okay, well, maybe we'll have to do a whole research on what on my hearing. Do you hear 1-800-WITH-IT or 1-800-WHIP-IT?
When you hear 1-800-WHIP-IT, I think that is the Devo fan line. You can find out their concert schedule.
That's right.
Where they're going to be next. You know how it goes.
You can whip it. I thought you were going to say something about your dog, because don't you used to own Whippets? Those are dogs,
a
dog
breed.
Oh, yeah,
own Whippets, yeah.
And God forbid it's a line about inhaling whipped cream.
Yes.
Those were called Whippets, I think. With it, that makes more sense. 1-800-WITH-IT.
Yeah. Okay. 1-800-WITH-IT. So, yeah. So I think we should do a show on that because, as you said, there's so many outlets now. There's a Boston couple, Rob and Karen Hale. They are going to be giving away $1 million a week this year to charity. So they have tasked themselves to give away exactly $52 million over the course of a year, and they are giving them to deserving nonprofits. And what prompted them to do this is they had read an article about how the nonprofit world has really taken a hit the last few years. You know, there's all kinds of factors nowadays, as you know, the pandemic, certainly inflation has hit a lot of families. So it has altered the landscape of how people give. But I thought that was interesting. They're specifically targeting nonprofit organizations. They're going to give away $1 million a week for a year.
Starting when?
It didn't say exactly when they're going to start, but Rob Hale is part owner of the Celtics and a telecom company, and he is purported to be worth about $5 billion. That's $5 billion with a B dollars.
That is a tremendous thing to do. $52 million total, $1 million a week. That what a great story.
No, I think that's just so interesting. You know, we've talked a lot about how in the billionaire world, there's a lot of structured giving. And I thought that was great that they had kind of said, this is our challenge for this year.
And did I catch from you that these are charities that are not as top of mind or well-known? They're really kind of going
deep?
Could
be, yeah. And they may be more closely, since the couple lives in Boston, they may be more Northeast United States, more Boston-oriented. But, you know, we've always talked about this, you know, just any giving at all helps people because it just, you know, by giving, you sort of influence others to give as well.
I agree. I think, you know, the auction that just sold a pair of jeans for $76,000, if they would have heard this story before they sold them, maybe they would have committed a few dollars from the proceeds to give to charity.
Absolutely. Hey, you know, this is a great time of year to try and get some exercise in as we get into fall. Obviously, we'll have cooler temperatures, but there have been a number of great days. This show emanates from the Midwest, but in general, weather is usually very nice in the fall to get out. And one of the things that you might want to investigate, because people tend to take them for granted or not even look into, are your state parks. And you probably know this, Adam, but every state has a number of state parks.
Yeah, and they're fantastic. And, you know, different times of the year, you get different foliage in the Midwest and the North. This time of year, the colors are just unbelievable. You probably, the farther north you go, you probably only got 2-3 weeks left of the prime, you know, what they call prime foliage viewing. And then as you know, the farther you go down south and around Tennessee, northern Georgia, those colors last longer.
remember we had a show where I think live on the air nationally, we called the National Foliage Hotline, which is not easy to say. And we were put on hold. I remember that very well. But yeah, there are ways to sort of pinpoint peak leaf activity. And as you said, it's already occurred in areas of Maine. You can probably wait a while. There's not as much a great fall explosive color like in Texas and Florida because yep. the plants are very different. But for much of the country, we get treated to those colors. You probably have noticed that here in the Midwest, the colors have started to change.
Oh, yeah. Driving into the station today, I saw a difference just over the last 48 hours. They change fast, too.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are 10,234 state parks at last count, and more are being added all the time. And this was a kind of a cool footnote. Most of what we know as state parks were established in the 30s. There was a program called the Civilian Conservation Corps. Do you ever recall hearing that phrase?
I do not, no.
Yeah, the Civilian Conservation Corps, and there was another organization called the Works Project Administration. Those two agencies were created by FDR, President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, to help get Americans back to work during the time period following the great 1929?
The Great Depression.
The Great Depression.
Yeah.
There we go. It would have been depressing if I couldn't recall depression.
At least you got great right.
Yeah, I got most of it in there, So I would have lost at Double Jeopardy, I think. It would have happened.
Most people could name the Great Depression, but not be able to tell you that it was 1929. You had the year, but didn't get the word depression.
That's how memory works at my age. We'll have to do a show on memory. But I thought that was really cool to at least look into, take advantage of the state parks. We recently, in our area, had a state park that was kind of added at a old military base that was mostly wooded, and they created a state park. And I had a chance to chat with one of the rangers out there about it. I said, this place had been here for so long. Why did it take so long? And he goes, early on, back in the 1920s, they were testing some new ammunition. And he goes, there were some unexploded pieces of ordnance that were still in the woods. He goes, it took us a couple of years to make sure that all those were accounted for and taken care of. So wow. I thought to myself, you're spreading that blanket for a picnic. And next thing you're 50 feet up in the air and
yeah.
flying away.
That is interesting.
So you have to be careful. Yeah.
So you sometimes you can find an arrowhead from a Native American spear in your state park, or in this case, a mortar shell.
A mortar shell, yeah. Which, and we've always said on the Adam Ritz Show, if you do come across a mortar shell, don't touch it. Don't try to take it home.
There's your PSA for the day. Right.
Safety first. But yeah, I thought that was interesting. So do check out the state parks. The great news is too, because they are state parks, they have to be ADA compliant. Obviously, not every part of the state park is going to be ADA compliant, but that makes it so that everybody can gain access to the park. And they usually mark pretty clearly how rugged the trails are because we live in a state that's relatively flat, but, there are a number of state parks that have some very demanding hiking trails.
That is for sure. And, while we're talking about state parks, don't be afraid to go because of the price. I mean, the price is low. And I know as Americans, and I fall into this trap, you might think, why would I go to the state park to go walk 6 miles and pay them the $10 entry fee when I could walk 10 miles in my neighborhood? Keep in mind that $10 entry fee or whatever it is, it's usually $7 to $10. It goes to keep the park, running. I mean, that's not free. You've got to, There are volunteers, but there are also paid employees. There's electric, there's safety trail lighting. There's maintenance and upkeep with some of the stairwells and the decks overlooking a lake. That stuff costs money, and they can't pay for it unless people go there to enjoy it and use it. So don't be afraid to shell out the $7 to go on a 6-mile hike.
Yeah, and don't just say to yourself, hey, the $7, you know, how exciting could it be? A number of the state parks in our area have history associated with them. They're associated with famous authors. We even have a state park that's associated with a famous original Mercury 7 astronaut. So, you know, the state parks can enrich you in a number of ways. As Adam said, pony up the money, let the state park flourish, and then the state park will be there when you want to return.
And if you really enjoy the state parks, you can save some money and help them out by purchasing a membership. They do sell annual memberships that'll get you in any state park through their entire state park system. And that's something I've always wanted to do, because I'll go to a state park and I'll really enjoy it. And I'll think, I'll say to Melissa, we should buy a membership. And she says, let's do it. And then as soon as we get home, it's, out of sight, out of mind. So maybe now that we brought it up, I'm going to look back into that.
Here's a story, Adam, about a guy who checked into his college eligibility. He was 49 years old, and he is currently playing college football for North Dakota State College of Science.
I heard about this.
Yeah, this is a kind of a cool story. This guy had spent 10 years in the military. And then when he got out, he started working for a manufacturing company, and the manufacturing company said, hey, we could really use your help even more if you would agree to get at least an associate's degree in manufacturing. So he enrolled at this school, and he, by accident, met up with the football coach. And they started the discussion. Initially, the football coach was a bit concerned that a 49-year-old couldn't withstand the rigors of college football. You know, even though this is not major college football, you know yourself, Adam, you played college football.
Yeah.
It's pretty physically demanding.
Yeah, but Tom Brady's 61.
Or is he 161? breaking up.
You know, I'm 52. I think I could play a little bit of college football at the Division II, Division III level. I think I could do that.
Do you think you could? Here's what I challenge people. I'm not denying it, because I think you have the physicality to at least try it. Here's what's interesting to me. I always tell people, if you have high school football in your city, go to the games. It helps support the young athletes. But even high school football players play at such a high level now. I just think the science and the physics of sports have really changed over the last 10 to 15 years.
Yeah, all right. I see your point. I'm 6'3", 225, and you could go to
it looks good on the scorecard.
High school in my city right now, the tight end in high school is 6'4", 230. So
yeah, no, you're absolutely correct.
They're bigger than me.
It's really changed. That has really changed a lot. But hats off to the guy.
Yeah.
His name is Ray Rushell, and I think that is very cool that he's even trying this.
So interesting. And that's North Dakota State Mineral School?
North Dakota State College of Science.
College of Science, okay. So that's not the Bisons. It's not North Dakota State.
No.
It's the North Dakota State College of Science.
I think they're the marching beakers or something like that.
All right. Well, Jay and I will get back on the field and get our workouts in, and maybe we'll try out for some Division IV level college football. We want to thank you all for listening. You can hear this show and some of our previous shows in podcast form on our website, adamritzshow.com.
The Adam Ritz Show is recorded live in studio at the Vibonomics Worldwide Headquarters. Learn more about the Vibonomics Audio Out-of-Home Marketplace at Vibonomics.com. For information on this broadcast, including past on-demand episodes, interview submissions, and syndication contacts, visit AdamRitzShow.com.